This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Got any bites yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Gear in the tackle box, out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Papa's going out of sight.
Good morning. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with special guest co-host Captain Greg Stamper. Good morning, Captain Greg.
Good morning. Good morning. Time's flying by.
I know. The final hour of Real Talk Radio. Time sure does fly.
It does. It's all good.
And we actually have Captain Steve standing by on line one, ready to give us the event and tournament rundown. So we're going to head straight on over to the phones and grab his call. Hey, Captain Steve, good morning.
Hey, Captain Debbie, how are we doing, Captain Greg?
Good.
Doing great. How are things over there, Steve?
Doing good.
Good.
Got a few things going on around here, so we'll get into it and run through it here real quick.
Sounds good.
We do have our CCA Charlotte County Banquet coming up in Charlotte County on the 25th, coming up this Thursday, so check that out. We've got in April... here in Southwest Florida, we've got on the 10th, we've got the Bobby Holloway Junior Memorial Fishing Tournament. And that's in Pine Island Marina, and that's always a big event. They draw a good crowd for that one. Green Wave Classic was supposed to be on the 10th. It's been moved. I may have been a little bit behind on my calendar a little bit, but the Green Wave Inshore Classic is on the 17th now, and that's running the same day as the Flats Masters Tournament Series, their first of four this year for their summer series, is also on the 17th, and that's in Punta Gorda. So check that out. The Green Wave always draws a good crowd too, so check those out. And April 24th, we've got a new tournament coming to Southwest Florida. It's called Fish Like Mad, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They're putting the tournament together for a fundraiser, and that's on the 24th, which is a Saturday in April as well. Up on the Central West area, we've got a few things going on. Next Saturday on the 27th, we've got Hooked on Heroes Taking Veterans Fishing Tournament. That's in Steinhatchee. And another huge fundraiser event that they do every year, it's called Tighten the Drag Foundation out of St. Petersburg. That's a really big tournament, and they draw a big, big crowd for that one. So check that out. Also in April, up there in the Central West area, we've got on the 10th, we've got Florida Lure Anglers Fishing Tournament, and that's in Steinhatchee. We've got on the 16th, the Professional Redfish League, and that's in Steinhatchee on the 16th. And on the 24th, we've got Shan's Fishing for Kids Fishing Tournament, and that's also in Steinhatchee. So up there at Seahag Marina in Steinhatchee, they have a tournament going almost every Saturday, every weekend. So they've always got something happening up there. Somebody's doing a tournament for some particular reason. And in the, let's see here, we got the East Coast area. We got a couple things going on. We've got the, on the 26th this coming weekend, we've got the Northeast Florida Wahoo Shootout, and that's in St. Augustine. And in April, we've got, on April the 7th, the Final Sail Fish Challenge, and that's in Biscayne Bay. So a couple things going there. Down in the Keys, we've got in April, we've got on the 23rd, the Robert James Sunrise Tarpon Tournament, and that's in Isla Mirada.
Mm-hmm.
We've got on the 24th Earth Day Lions Derby, where they're trying to thin out some of the lionfish there in Isla Mirada. So they've been having lots of problems with lionfish chewing on the reefs and on the other fish, and kind of invasive species. It's been happening kind of all over Florida. So
good eating, though. Good eating.
Good
people.
Eating. Yes. I guess you want to handle them with
care. Yeah, you got to know how to fillet them.
Well, you cut all the.
You cut all the. Have you had them to eat before, Greg?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're it's like a hogfish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Up in the Panhandle, we got a couple of things going on. We've got on the 26th of this month, next week, the Power Pole Pearl Redfish Tour go live. That's in North Gulf area up in Big Bend area. And then we have in April, we've got the April the 10th, we've got the North Florida Redfish Series, their number three event in Port St. Joe. It's actually their second one, their event, even though it's number three, because the one that they had today got postponed and has moved back a little bit further into April. So they'll happen a little bit later. But that's about all I got right now. We've got, if you have any looking for information, go to fish-florida.com, the website. Check it out. My information's there. If anybody's looking for information, you can shoot me an email or give me a ring, whatever we'd like. And if you got a tournament that you don't see up there, let me know. I'd like to try to get it up there. We try to get as many of the saltwater tournaments and events up as we can. Sometimes it's a struggle to find some of this information, but we're always looking for help from other people that are out there that know of events. Let me know about it.
Yep. Well, thanks so much, Steve. It was great having you in the studio last week, by the way. So thanks so much for coming in, and thanks so much for calling in every week and giving everybody the latest scoop on what's going on throughout Florida with regards to the tournaments and events. So we appreciate it.
Had a great time last week. Look forward to do it again sometime. So
yeah, definitely.
You guys take care.
You too, Steve.
Right,
have a great weekend. Bye.
You too. Bye.
That is Captain Steve Johnson with fish-florida.com.
So many tournaments this time.
I know.
It's like one after another.
I know. The tournament and event circuit is definitely heating up for sure. And Greg, you fished the Emma's Hope tournament. That was last weekend, right?
That
and
was
you
last
actually
Saturday.
Won. You came in first place.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that experience. What was, you guys had a mystery fish, correct? And then it was
it was kind of funny how it all worked out. So the gentleman that asked me to fish him for the Emma, mm-hmm. He was one of the sponsors for it. It was him and his son, and we were going to start fishing around 8 o'clock in the morning. It was about the right time. The tide was going to start moving. We go out and get ourselves some bait, and then go fishing. Well, he told me he only wanted to fish till noon. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, it is what it is. We'll do our best. And we did quite well. Our two reds, because it was a total length thing for your two biggest reds.
Okay, yeah.
So we had 54 inches for our total length, which won that, which is good. And about the last 15 minutes, we hook into an enormous snook that was, you know, easily 35 inches. And he's finding it, and, you know, of course, it finally just spits the hook out. And he goes, oh, darn it. I didn't tell you. That's the mystery fish. The whole time, I didn't even know we were supposed to catch a snook. I'm like, it might have. And it was like quarter of the, I mean, we were getting ready to go in. So they won the whole tournament, but they could have swept it with a mystery fish as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. I'm so glad you guys had a good day for a good cause.
Yeah, it was
for
it was good.
A really good cause. That's good. The Emma Faith Hall Emma's Hope tournament that yep. they have every year. Yep. And that's out of Fishtail Marina, correct?
No, they do it out of the Moolock Creek.
Oh, that's right, out of Moolock Creek.
But I just had to meet me at my slip and
at Fishtail.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. And then he was back at the dock at noon and on his way. So they had a good day, and it worked out for him.
Well, congratulations, and congratulations to your clients for that day. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Stuff. We're actually going to head over to line two because we've got Captain Cody Pierce standing by. Hey, Cody, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Debbie, Captain Greg. How are you guys?
Good
We're
morning.
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations, Greg, on your tournament, man. That's great.
Thanks.
Cool story to hear, too.
Thanks.
So, I just wanted to tell you guys that you absolutely piqued my curiosity this morning with the snook talk. You know, and we're talking to Mr. Snook Stamp Charter. So this is wonderful. A lot of good information you guys are sharing this morning. Just a couple of things I'd like to bring some people up to date on. You know, this year, because we've had such a cold winter, probably the coldest in this past decade, you know, the snook migration seems to be what some people are calling a little bit early, but a lot of us say that it's almost right on track. So it should be a really good year for that. We're getting a lot of reports of big fish coming off the beach already. 2 weeks ago before the cold front, we had two over 40s that were landed on fly. Not with me, but just people coming in and telling us at the shop showing pictures. So that is astounding. Very good news, and it's a great way to start 2021. You know, as we progress forward, beach fishing seems to be at the height of everybody's interest.
Yep.
I can see why. It's most easily accessed for everyone. You get multiple shots at the male snook and female snook. But going back to, you know, briefly, you guys were talking about trophy-sized snook. Something that's important for people to remember is that everybody talks about yesteryear and what used to happen and what their dads caught. And, you know, that's wonderful. But it goes to show that these fish are so susceptible in advance that, you know, it's really because of the actions that we as a society have taken, whether it's progress or urban development or bad water or bad fish handling techniques, is what's led us to, you know, having such a decline of big snook. You know, sexually mature fish, when they hermaphrodite the female, is somewhere around 8 years old. Any fish that's around 40 inches is going to be closer to 20 years old. I mean, these are very, very elder fish that are highly advanced species here. So, you know, trying to fish them, and when you do catch the fish, you know, just like to preach the good fish handling technique. So,
absolutely,
you know, they are an extreme asset to us, and Florida has the most advanced snook fishery that the world's probably ever seen. Now it seems to be that most of the good snook fishing is in Central and South America, but, you know, Florida is still right up there, you know, in the top tiers. So having a couple of clients that have landed over 40s on fly, the only thing I can tell you is persistence and the correct gear. Most of the big fish you're going to land, you're going to want a 10 weight. And as Greg was saying, you know, 40-pound bite, like that's the rule. Yeah. You know, there's some guys that get away with lesser than that, but it's like winning the lotto. You really have to have 40-pound, you know, leaders, shock tippet, bite tippet, whatever you want to call it, to really be successful. So, you know, those fish that are in the backwater areas, you know, are typically some of the biggest fish you're going to find because they're the eldest fish. They do it for a couple of reasons, I think. For one, snook don't spawn every year, especially as they get bigger. They will take seasons off. Another thing is that the snook populations from the East Coast integrate with our West Coast snook during spawn season. Absolutely. They travel to this side. It's been tagged and talked about before. So there's always a little bit of genetic diversity that's going on. You know, when we start to get into that time of year when the snook are spawning, it's a great opportunity to catch big fish. And, you know, depending on the conditions, you very well may have some Atlantic snook that are making their way over here. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
It's just a really interesting time of year to try to target those. Secondarily, plug fishing. And I heard, Debbie, you mentioned that earlier. That seems to be, like, the biggest, you know, passion and skill set that is kind of dissipating, which is astounding to me. You know, plug fishing was the thing to do for so long. It seems that, like, within the last decade or so, a lot of the younger generation is just kind of getting out of it, which is okay. You know, everybody, you know, trends change and things. But top water is definitely my second favorite way to go. If I can't catch them on fly, I want to throw plugs. And, Greg, I heard, and you said it best, man, there's a giant snook eating a plug. There's nothing like it. The sound, the sight, the feeling, the shaky knees, you know, it just... That is God's gift to anglers.
And no matter how many times you've seen it, you still go, oh, God.
Some of us here definitely know about shaky knee syndrome, especially when you get into a nice fish. happens to me for sure. But, Cody, so speak a little bit, because I know when it comes to, you know, what you're using for leader, too, when you're fishing some of those plugs, you rig up a little differently. You use mono in a lot of cases. Can you touch on that briefly?
Yes. So, you know, I'll try to keep it brief. So everything is turned to fluorocarbon. Fluorocarbon has its point. It's denser. It sinks quicker, and, you know, it doesn't have the same thick diameter. But old school is still the cool school. There's a reason that the old timers used monofilament, not just because that was what was available to begin with. But it's cheaper. You know, you can replace your leaders more often. It has a little bit of stretch to it. It has a much higher abrasion resistance. And the other thing is, you got to think what you're doing. You know, most of the time, if you're plug fishing, if you're burning flies, if you're using poppers, you're looking for a reactionary bite. You're not giving those fish a long time to actually analyze the leader system that you're using. So I'm using 25, 30, and 40-pound Mason's Hard Mono for everything. I like Maxima as well. Maxima is a great product. You can find that at Layers. But Mason's Hard Mono is pretty much the only thing I use now for my live bait charters, which are far and few between now, plug fishing, jig fishing, all of my fly leaders, everything is mono. you know, if you want it to sink a little bit quicker, you know, then I understand using fluorocarbon. And if you're tournament fishing and you want to do everything you can to you know, to maximize your potential, then by all means, use the fluorocarbon. But there is nothing wrong with monofilament. It's been used for many decades. And, you know, a lot of people are getting out of it. But at the same time, 20-pound monofilament is going to last a hell of a lot longer than even 30-pound fluorocarbon in most situations. Not always, but, you know, 9 times out of 10. So
doesn't
that's
sink,
my too. General rule of thumb. Right. And like I said, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, and especially when you're fishing topwater and you've got that monofilament that's, you know, more buoyant and it's more or less floating on the surface of the water, you're going to have a better connection to that lure. And when that fish strikes, you do have a little bit of give there.
Absolutely. And just real quickly, that's why I like Mason's Hard Mono. So people that are unfamiliar with it, Mason Tackle Company incorporates a much higher carbon content to their monofilament, not the Mills End. Mills End is a little bit different, but their actual hard Mason has a higher carbon content. So it's gonna, you know, not stay up on the top part of the water column, but it's not gonna sink quite as quickly as what fluorocarbon would. So it's a very happy median, and it makes a big difference, you know, when you're fishing streamers or muddler patterns, you know, poppers and things of that nature. So
yep.
Even for the live bait guys and lure bait guys, you'll be very happy throwing Mason's Hard Mono.
All right, Cody. Well, some great tips. Really appreciate the information. Thanks so much for calling in. And if folks want to get in touch with you, you're at saltwaterbackcountry.com, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, you have a great rest of the weekend. I'm hoping to stop by and see you tomorrow. You're going to be working at 239 Flies tomorrow?
I will. We'll be open 10 to 4. I'll be here today and tomorrow, and it was great to see you guys. And Greg, look forward to catching up with you soon, buddy.
All right. Once we slow down.
Thanks.
Sounds great, pal.
All right.
Thanks, Cody. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye. That is Captain Cody Pierce, saltwaterbackcountry.com. Run through a few quick text messages here before we have to head off to a break. Let's see. What weight fly rod should I use for snook fishing on the beaches? I would say anything 8 or 9 weight is going to be fine for snook fishing off the beaches. Dopey McDoperson wondering, is it a tradition to strip nude and jump in the water after you catch your first big game fish? Okay, I don't know about the skinny dipping part, Dopey, but yes, a lot of times if people are offshore fishing and they catch their first bill fish,
right,
they will jump in the water and have a baptism
at
of
the
sorts.
Dock, usually.
Now, this is the same classy guy who kind of attacked me a minute before saying, can't believe you're asking for donuts while the guy's in the hospital. But referring to Gator Tom, you know, Dopey, that's just, you know, that's kind of the nature of me and Gator Tom's relationship. I'm sure that was a loving, touching message to him, sir, but thank you for your input.
And then let's see, Anthony from Estero asking for suggestions on where to go near shore for kingfish. Well, I know Captain Alex just called in this morning and he said, did he say exactly how far he was offshore, Greg?
So it's actually it's going to be blowing pretty good, bud, this next few days. But if you do want to give it a go, there are kingfish right now from about Wiggins Pass. Although you can go, I don't know how far south they are. I haven't really been past Wiggins much. But from Wiggins Pass south, if you're out there in about 25 feet of water, give or take, which is fairly close to shore, and you want to troll some ballyhoos or those big plugs or sometimes even little feathers will get their attention. Yeah, you'll probably get yourself a kingfish or two. If not, I know that they're further out. But like I said, the wind is going to dictate what happens over the next few days. I don't think after this afternoon you're going to get out for a day or two.
Yep. All right, we got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3 ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host and better half, Captain Greg Stamper of Snook Stamp Charters. Good morning.
Good morning. Time is flying.
It is. Greg, you're taking it back with that tune, Little Doors. Jim Morrison going
Craig would
right
be
there.
Proud. Craig Sheeman, huge Doors fan. Always loves when I play the Doors songs on the show.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. So just a few things before I forget. I know everyone is waiting for useless information.
And I teased them.
Yeah, I know. I heard it.
You know, Rick, as has been well documented on the station over the last couple of weeks, we are transitioning into a new computer system, and I keep putting it in there thinking, okay, maybe we'll get to it this segment. If not, I'll delete it, and then I forget to delete it, and then I go to hit the commercials, and there's useless. Oh, good. What did I do? So I apologize for the tease.
It's okay, Rick.
But I'm ready when you're ready.
Yeah, just a few things real quick. So I just want to remind folks, head over to the Real Talk Radio Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ESPN Real Talk Radio. That's where we post all the information on who is going to be coming up on future shows. Speaking of which, next Saturday, we are very much looking forward to having Captain Chasten Whitfield here in the studio. And if you don't know Chasten, she is up in the Tampa area, and she is a female force to reckon with. She heads up Chasten Nation. She takes out a lot of kids that have life-threatening illnesses and really helps to get the next generation out there on the water. So we're really looking forward to having her here next week, next Saturday morning.
You remember when she was just young teaching kids how to throw cast nets?
Yeah, well, she still does that.
I'm sure she still does
Plus so much more. Yeah. Now she's fishing bass tournaments. She's getting involved more with freshwater fishing. So looking forward to definitely talking with her. You can find me. I'm on the gram at SheFishes2 and also at SheFishes2. That's the number 2.com. And without further ado, we are ready, Rick. Let's get into useless information.
No tease this time, kids.
No tease. It's happening.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
And now, from the world's most extraordinary book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information. Captain Debbie, take it away.
This is the Take It on the Run, Baby edition.
Oh, I love when she sings, man. Greg, that must be great at home when she just starts belting out the tune. Oh,
he generally runs out the door and all the mirrors shatter. That's basically what happens there. But starting it off this morning, American ultramarathon runner Dean Karnazes once ran 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 states.
Whoa.
Can you even
a marathon
imagine?
Is what, 26 miles? Yeah. So we ran 26 miles a day every day for 50 days?
That is correct.
Oy.
Unbelievable, right?
I don't even like to drive.
Yes, sir.
Okay, moving on to number two. In 2012, Keith Levasseur, also known as the flip-flop guy, ran the Baltimore Marathon in a time of 2 hours, 46 minutes, and 48 seconds flip-flops.
Oh.
And he finished 29th.
I love that guy.
In flip-flops.
In flip-flops.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, if we can get the guy to do 50 marathons in 50 days in flip-flops, then that would really be something, right?
Yeah. All right. And last but not least, scientists are aware of the fact that space travel takes a toll on the human body, but as it turns out, it also does something strange to mice. When 20 rodents were sent up to the International Space Station, they suddenly started to run loops around their cage after just a week. Once one mouse started to run, the others quickly joined in. While researchers don't exactly know why the mice were acting like race cars circling a track at top speed, they do think the little critters might have simply been enjoying the rewarding effects of physical exercise.
That's exactly.
So there you go.
You know,
there
like
you
mice
have it.
In space.
Remember, like, mice the in old, space.
The old circus, you know, where the guys were in the were on the bikes inside the cage.
That's
doing
right.
360s.
There you go.
That's the same thing. the mice were doing.
Wow. So it was part of the theme of marathons.
All we about
have,
running.
We have running and mice running. And
all about running, whether it's people or mice. There you have it.
By That's the way, Gator Tom, you are welcome. Can't wait to get those donuts.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to those Boston
Gator Tom
creams,
sent
Gator
us a text Tom. And the Dopey, who just does not like me. He just he is not a Rick Church guy at all. Texted in, well, why did you only read half of the text? What about the part where I wished Gator Tom a speedy recovery? Come on, you guys. It's just a little sarcasm.
He did tell us to have a great weekend, though.
He did. Gator Tom Dopey McDoperson sends you his best wishes. He probably does not want you to bring me donuts, but he does send his best wishes to you.
And then we got, look at this, nice redfish that one of our listeners texted in. There you go. Estera Bay Red on the Alabama Leprechaun Jerkbait on low tide, about 12 inches of water.
Yep.
That's a sweet redfish you got going on there.
Redfish is probably artificial. Laying up in the flats trying to warm up. And
yeah. Yeah, and look at that clear blue sky behind him, too. Nice. Well, congrats on that, Red. And then we got a question. Are you going to put the old shows on the Real Talk webpage? So the old, well, I don't know. That's a really good question. We'll have to talk to them to see if they can do that.
If they're going to do it, who's going to do it? Hello.
It would be you.
Yeah.
The one and only Rick Church.
Oh, man.
That would be an undertaking, too, because how far back do you go?
We have probably about 2 years of shows archived in the system, but yeah, to post all of them
that would take a lot of time.
You know what? I'll see what I can do for you, sir.
maybe a couple of weeks.
Yeah, maybe somewhere down
prior
the road.
To.
Maybe when baseball season gets here and I'm doing and 4.5 hour baseball games,
there we go.
And I'm bored out of my skull. then maybe I'll get to that.
And then Mad Duck in Naples, useless information beats Pete's poultry.
Proclamations
of information on Wednesdays. Useless information, the grand day of uselessness.
I think he meant granddaddy of uselessness.
I'm going to go with that, too.
Yeah, you've not heard that controversy,
Mad
Greg.
Duck has spoken. Well, we have to thank Captain Rob because he started useless information.
In fact, it was really, if you think about it, it was Miss Jonelle Modis who started useless information.
Because she gave Captain Rob, she gifted
she's the one who
Captain
purchased
Rob
the first
book.
Useless information book. Yeah. But yeah, so now Pete and Craig have started doing a thing on Wednesdays that they call it. Well, I don't know if they've officially come up with a name for it yet, but it's kind of a useless information type segment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm usually on the water. If I'm doing doubles, I don't get off till 4:35.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm starting to drive home. So
you listen to them on the drive back from the marina.
Yeah, I'll hear the last, you know, maybe 30, 40 minutes. Although there was a week or two ago, I had the afternoon off. I think you were running the show.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And before I forget, one other thing, folks were asking, I know last week we had quite a few people texting and calling in asking about how to get started fishing. I do have a seminar series, a webinar series actually, that is up on the West Marine YouTube channel. It's also on the Take Me Fishing Facebook page. We started off how to get started freshwater fishing, then we moved into best times and places to fish, then we went into adding your skill set, and this coming Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. is going to be the final and the webinar series, which is going to be how to get started saltwater fishing. So that's going to be this coming Tuesday, March 23rd, 8 p.m. Eastern, and then followed by an Instagram live Q&A at 8:20. So tune in if you can.
There you go. Send her some
questions. Tune in. Don't be afraid to type your questions in the Instagram live. That's what I'll be going live for, to answer everyone's questions.
By the way, Dopey, thank you for the next nice text. He did say that's not true, that he doesn't like me. He said he finished it with, "I even like the Vikings." So, you know.
Oh, there you go.
So thank you for
and
your kind
words,
Dopey.
And then he says, "Who can't love the Rick Rejoiner royalty?"
Yeah,
you do have the best rejoining tunes there, Rick.
Thank you,
we gotta
Dopey.
Say.
He just, sometimes say. I just, you know, sometimes he's a little aggressive on the text lines, let's just say.
And then, yeah, he said, then we got another text. They just stopped February this year. None of the season. I'm thinking he's thinking season.
They're on the old one.
Yeah, those are all on realtalkradio.net. We made the transition, for those of you who are just getting into the speed of things here. All of the shows are now up as podcasts on the 99.3 ESPN website. Go to the Real Talk Radio page on the website. You will find all of the shows moving from about a month ago, right, Rick? think it was about a month ago.
I think there's probably 5 or 6 weeks worth of shows up there now, and we'll of course keep them up there as we keep adding.
So. Exactly. So that's where all the shows are moving forward. Yes. All right. So Greg, wow, coming into the home stretch here. Yeah.
Fishing's been really good. I mean, the redfish bite has been fantastic. A lot of big fish here and there. Still, I'm not catching any small reds, which is a concern of mine, because that's the future.
Yeah, of not many juveniles.
And all the fish we're catching are upper slot and over slot, which is great that we're catching big fish, but I'd like to see some juniors starting to show up sooner or later.
Yeah, and pretty soon you're going to be taking people out for juvenile tarpon, which is another one of your specialties.
Yesterday, yesterday we were doing a little bit of pompano fishing. They wanted to bring something home to eat. And so that's like one of the fish that I'll recommend. Like, all right, let's go catch some pompano. And I saw a few tarpon roll. So they're starting to move around. I'm sure that today they kind of are a little bit figuring out maybe it's not quite time to come out yet. But I did see some tarpon rolling more than once this week in some of the areas. Just they're not going to be thick yet for me. For what I do for another month or so probably, and then we'll start to target them a little more frequently. I prefer the heat of the summer for most of my juvenile tarpon fishing. And you know, of course, we go real early in the morning, and we get that first couple hours when the bite's really good, and then we can come home and be back in time for lunch.
Yep,
basically.
Yeah. Well, and I know lately the permit fishing off the wrecks and reefs near shore has been really good. You got into some Spanish mackerel this past week.
Oh, yeah, the mackerel are everywhere.
Good fishing.
The permit fishing, it just shows you that we are now moving into that transition where, you know, the permit have been here now for several weeks thick, and I'm talking fish up to 35, 40 pounds. The tarpon are starting to come from the south, and they're starting to fill in. Our local fish have now come out of the rivers, and they're fishing. I mean, they're fishing for them around the Sanibel Causeway and stuff. There are fish there, or some fish there. So it's all starting. You know, the threadfin schools are thick out front. There's lots of white bait on the beaches. So everything's starting to happen. You know, the things that we're going to stop seeing as much of are like, you know, you're not going to see as many, sheep's head anymore coming in. You're going to start seeing the transition. Then, you know, there'll be a lot of kingfish now coming through. All these things that are going to follow that bait is going to happen. And of course, you know, in the back today or yesterday, I was really happy. It's always cool when you catch something that you don't catch very often, you know, kind of like last year we had that big push of juvenile mutton snapper that we were able to target on a regular basis. Well, yesterday my client caught a little flounder. It wasn't big, but we've had so few flounder caught in Estero Bay in general. Just to see it was so cool. I mean, I was even telling him, like, that's the coolest fish that we're going to catch today. You know, I don't care if we catch a huge redfish or a huge snooker or whatever. That's the coolest thing to see. You know, it's kind of like the first time we started catching trout again. I was like, oh my gosh.
Trout!
They're here!
Yes!
Thank you. Thank you. You know, like, you're so careful with them. You know, you don't want to hurt them. But you know, so we're starting to see things again, which is really good. We're going to have a good run at it for the next few months.
Yeah, that's a positive sign, most definitely. Yeah. So Keith in the Cape, Keith who called in earlier, actually sent a link to the photo of that massive snook that he has. I believe it must be on his Facebook page. I'm trying to click on the link and it's not coming up, but he said it's the 32 pounder caught in the Orange River around 1968. Before my time.
That's a big snook.
That is a big snook. That is a really big snook. So yeah, unfortunately I have to log into Facebook, but I'll check out that link, Keith, for sure. Thanks for sending that over.
Biggest snook I've caught was 48 inches because I...
And that was on the other coast, right?
No,
that was here?
That was here. And I did not weigh it. I'm not going to hold her straight up and down. But I did place her on the front of my boat so I could figure out where her tail ended. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and measured it later. So that's 32 pounds, man. That is a
tank of a snook. Unbelievable. Wow. Yep. All right. Well, we got to get ready to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3 ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with Captain Greg Stamper of Snook Stamp Charters. Good morning.
What's up?
Last 10 minutes.
You got it. Yep.
Here we go.
Blue bye.
I know. It's crazy. I did want to read it. We got a text from our friend Jerry Toporek with Project Healing Waters and Fish with a Hero. He says, good morning, Captain Debbie. Sun peeking through at Webb Lake in anticipation of getting released from quarantine on the 26th. I've booked a kayak trip on the 28th out of Matlache, which will also mean that I'll be able to get out to social distance with you. And he says, cross your fingers and say a prayer for me, Jerry Toporek. Jerry, we're thinking about you. Glad to hear that you're getting out and about up at Webb Lake. And yeah, fingers crossed you can come out of quarantine and get out there on the water with a few of us, myself and Mr. Joe Mahler. Looking forward to seeing you and catching up. And we're actually going to head over to line one because we've got Captain John Fetter standing by. Hey, Captain John, how's it going?
Good morning, you two. How are you guys today?
We're doing good.
What's up?
Good.
You out on
good.
The water this morning?
Yeah, we're out here catching them. So Greg probably knows where I'm sitting right now.
I definitely know where you are right now.
And it's about the same as it's been. I mean, we're getting a little bit of everything today.
Yeah.
Well, good deal.
Snapper, ladyfish, trout, I mean, four or five groupers.
Yeah. Is the wind still down, or is it starting to pick up?
Yeah, I mean, well, anything's better than it's been, so.
Yeah.
You know, at least the kite doesn't fly super high today. It only stays a little bit lower.
Yeah, I think this afternoon it's going to start ripping.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to pick up again, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for all this wind to be over.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a few days, at least.
Yeah, it's definitely been a little bit different than normal, but
that's,
yeah.
We make do.
That's all right.
We get it done.
I hope that's where I caught that flounder yesterday. So
I know. I was shocked when I saw that flounder come up yesterday. Yeah.
That's pretty cool stuff.
I was super excited for you.
Pretty cool
what
stuff.
What do you got here?
So, John, you just fishing shrimp under a poppy cord?
Yep, shrimp on a jig head. Nope, shrimp on a jig head.
Shrimp on a jig head.
Yep.
Nice.
And you have a nice little snapper right here.
Yeah, he'll be busy at that spot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're getting a lot of those little snappers.
Well,
but no, it's good. Good bite, you know, good time to get out here. The weather could be a little bit nicer today. It's still a little gloomy and overcast, but.
Yeah. The sun's supposed to peek out later this afternoon.
Yeah, right when the wind starts blowing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly when it will.
So.
Well, cool. Good. Glad to hear you're catching them and your clients are having a great day. And if folks want to get in touch with you, John, you're catchingthecurecharters.com, correct?
Yes.
Awesome stuff. Well, get back at it. We won't keep you. Have a great morning, and hopefully we'll catch up with you next Saturday.
We will, and thank you very much, and we'll talk to you.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely,
see you tomorrow.
John.
All right.
Thanks. Take
you
care.
Guys have a great day. Y'all
you
see
too.
You in the morning, Greg.
Yep.
Bye.
All right, bye.
That is Captain John Fetter. Wow. Telling you, just time goes by way too,
and
way
I would
too fast.
Be remiss if I didn't thank Captain Greg for just another spectacular breakfast this morning. Greg, I'm like being serious. I can't even think of the adjectives to describe. I'm not kidding, man.
That was good, huh?
Oh,
I didn't know if you liked how you were with onions.
Oh, I do not mind onions at all, especially when they're nice and caramelized that. And
like slowly.
So we had. Like flaky, buttery biscuits with a pork chop and onions on a breakfast sandwich, and it was just like spectacular.
So what many people may not know, some people know, but you had a long career in the restaurant industry before you got your captain's license and became a fishing guide. Mm-hmm. So you were in the restaurant industry for how many years, Greg?
Oh, 20-something,
20-something years. So what made you finally decide to leave the restaurant industry behind and become a fishing guide?
Well, you're married to it, first of all. The restaurant world and, you know, listen, I have a lot of great people I've met and a lot of friends that still do it, but it's very taxing. You're 24/7. There's no nights off, no weekends off, no holidays off. It's a grind, okay? You can make good money, but it is a grind. I've fished my whole life, and I started chartering part-time on my days off, and sometimes even before I could come in to work and stuff.
Yep.
And that turned into no days off, and then turned into, you know what? I would much rather be on the water. That's a much better office than being in those four walls and dealing with the day in, day out.
Group. That's pretty amazing, though, Greg, to have two talents like that, right?
Yeah. I mean,
clearly you can tell when somebody has just a knack for cooking and preparing amazing food, right?
No, he's intense. He's the guy that goes to like five different stores to find just the right ingredients for things. Well,
sometimes you have to go to
that store. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Like I'll give a shout out. I buy all my meats from Jimmy P's.
Jimmy P's, okay? Absolutely. Yeah.
That's why I start with good stuff, and then I shop for my vegetables. Almost everything is organic that I make, and I'll go from place to place until I find the right stuff. Sometimes I'm not happy with the product they have, and I'm like, well, I'll just go somewhere else.
Wow.
And find it.
Yeah. And I know we only have a couple minutes left here, but
I'm about to flash you the two.
Yeah. But Greg, so advice for those who are booking trips with captains and guys this time of year, because I know we've both been slammed. A lot more people are getting out on the water.
Call as soon as you know you're coming.
Yeah.
My best advice, and I tell everybody, especially last minute callers, the further out you call, the better, because really what I'll do is I'll look at the time frame you're here. I will look at the tides for the entire time you're here, and I will tell you which days will be the best possible days to fish. Now, you cannot do anything about Mother Nature and what the weather brings, but you can always pick a tide. You can always get the best opportunity with good moving water. And if you're being very particular about catching specific fish, there are times and tides where those fish are going to be way more active, and you'll have a lot better chance at catching them, like the juvenile tarpon in the summertime. There's about 10 really awesome tides in the mornings that I'll go out there and do that. And out of those 10, there's probably 5 no-brainers, we're going to kill it tides.
Yeah, so guys, if you know you're coming into town, you're going to be here for a range of dates, before you make other plans, if you want to go fishing, you want to have a good day, call your captain and guide and say, here's the dates that I'm going to be here. Have them tell you when the best time is going to be to get out there on the water, because they know they're following those seasonal patterns for the species you want to target, and they're going to help put you in the best position if you give them that range of dates. So on that note, it's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick Turch, the director of this show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Thanks, Greg, for being here this morning.
Yep.
Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday. Same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.